Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He said to the host who invited him to dinner, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you receive repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's sacred scripture, both St. Paul as well as Jesus in the Gospel of St. Luke, continue to talk to us about humility. Today we have been invited here to the Lord's banquet because we are poor. We are not self-sufficient. We need everything and receive everything from God. Because we're maimed. Because in many ways we bear various injuries and wounds. Because we're blind. Sometimes it's hard for us even to see the Lord in the sacraments, not to mention in the distressing disguise that He assumes throughout the day when people come to us, especially those who get under our skin, and who are lame. Even when our spirit is willing, we struggle to stand up before the Son of Man. We struggle to walk in His footsteps, or when He requires it, to run in His footsteps to keep up. And yet, the Lord still invites us here, and He says, "Do this in memory of me." He wants us in our liturgies, and it is one thing that in most places the church does very well, to invite all those who are wounded, not to invite the rich and the famous, those with whom we, according to worldly vanities, might want to rub elbows with, but everybody. We do that very well in our liturgies. We don't do it quite as well at our tables, where we fail to see that what Jesus is giving us here in the Gospel is not just a metaphor for spiritual lessons, but actually a straight-out literal command that when we are having a meal, He in fact does want us to invite the people who don't get normally on people's invitation lists. And the church is always at her most beautiful when we live this gospel literally. But one of the reasons why we struggle to invite the lowly is because we too often are inflated. We're trying to move up rather than to get down and wash feet. And for that reason, it comes into our orbit far more to invite somebody who could be an incredible benefactor for our work at a material level far more quickly than we would somebody who could be a spiritual benefactor of our work through their becoming and being literally one of God's holy Anawim, those who are truly rich because they're poor in spirit. We could go on with those contrasts, but I think the point's clear. Lord wants us to recognize how He calls us in our humility to His banquet, and then He wants us similarly to go out and invite those in similar circumstances. On Wednesday, we'll have a chance to ponder Jesus sending us out into the highways and the byways. And after the people who were first on our list, first on his list in a sense, in the parable, have refused to come. He sends us out to those crossroads to invite literally the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. These are the ones whom he cares for especially. And when we are, in fact, inviting them, then, he says, we will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection to his right hand is for those who are righteous. And precisely to be righteous, we need to invite in this way. To help us get there, we genuinely need the virtue of humility and the virtue of true Christian unity to recognize that we are a family and that those who are poor, crippled, blind, and lame aren't strangers, aren't the unwashed, aren't the dangerous. These are precisely our family members. St. Paul continues not only his word about humility, but his word about unity in his letter to the Philippians, which I know is Sister Elizabeth Grace's soon-to-be favorite. What does he do here? The church in Philippi, because the politics in Philippi were constantly tearing people apart. Philippi was this Roman city, but you had the Greeks versus the Romans, you had all the social classes constantly battling each other. And Paul, in his most encouraging, beautiful, tender letter of all, where he was praising the Philippians, recognized that the biggest struggle they had were various class divisions and racial divisions, and this clash between Romans and Greeks. Philippi didn't really have much of a problem between Jews and Gentiles, thanks be to God, because Lydia would invite others over. And there weren't all that many Jews there, not to mention Judaized Christians. But there were other divisions. And St. Paul was fighting that from the beginning. Divisions, he's going to describe, often come from our haughtiness. He wants us to go low to be able to see the commonalities. Ultimately, he's going to tell us tomorrow in the apex of this, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who was so humble he took on our nature, became a slave to all, and died being crucified. And that was the reason why he was exalted. And therefore, if we're going to have that same mind, we're going to become humble. We're going to become a servant of the rest. We're going to be willing to be crucified out of love for others. And this is the way we will get to that resurrection of the righteous. So St. Paul begins with various fonts for our unity. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if Christ gives you strength, if there's any solace in love, if you're really loving, if you participate at all in the Holy Spirit, if you have any compassion and mercy, if you have any desire to give me joy, St. Paul says, and through me God joy, then be of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. He wants us to have that mind of Christ and that heart of Christ, who came from heaven to earth to found that family. And this is the work of Christ. It's what love brings about. It's what the Holy Spirit seeks to foster. It's the fruit of compassion and mercy. It's what leads to joy. What erodes this unity, this capacity genuinely to share one table, receiving one gift from our one Lord and Father of all? He describes several spiritual cancers. First one, selfishness, when we're concerned about ourselves way more than we're concerned about others. Next is vain glory, when we're trying to prop up our own ego. Next is self-interest, which is different than selfishness. Self-interest means that we're just focused on ourselves, where selfishness means we don't want others to have. We want to have what they have. Self-centeredness starts out where we're just the sun in our own solar system. And he gives a remedy. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. Don't look for your own interests, but look for those of others. To regard others as more important than ourselves. What an incredible spiritual secret this is in order for us to be truly humble. To be grateful for the gifts that the Lord's given them. To recognize that we're in some ways not worthy to be in their presence because we revere them so much. And yet the Lord has blessed us with the capacity to be in their presence and to serve them. To regard others as better than we are. This requires an awful lot of work, not only in the way that we look at things, but in how we begin to behave. It's the type of thing that, frankly, sisters, we need to have as a particular exam point so that we can work on it throughout the day. First, with regard to each other, then with regard to those who come. To regard them as more important than we are. I remember 25 years ago when I was in Toronto. The Missionaries of Charity at a convent right across the street, and many of us seminarians just to get out of our seminary. It was one of the places where at 25 years old I didn't have to ask permission to go. And I would go and I'd pray the holy hour with the MCs. And the prayer that they would pray, Lord, please make us worthy to serve the poor, always struck me. The poor that we were serving in Toronto were those who had been released from mental hospitals. They were living out there in the streets. At basically every index, it was so much easier to see ourselves as superior. But it was that prayer they recognized with that gift of reverence that Jesus was in that other person. So they humbly regarded that other as superior to themselves. To strengthen us in all of these things, the Lord Jesus goes really low at every Mass, hiding himself under the appearances of simple bread and wine. Because if we can recognize him here, we can recognize him elsewhere. And if we recognize that what seems to be just bread and wine isn't, but is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then it becomes so much easier for us to recognize him under the other disguises with which he will approach us today. May the Lord help us to recognize in humility how poor, lame, crippled, and blind we are. May he enrich us with himself. May he help us to see. May he stretch out our withered hands so that we might truly serve others in love. And help us truly to walk always in his footsteps as he seeks through us to go out and lift up our superiors to this banquet here on earth, to our own table, and to his table. Praise be Jesus Christ.